I think by nature, women are meant to be empathetic and mindful in what they do. I think it's by nature how we are wired. And that's what I've noticed. Like, we're juggling multiple roles at home, in our professional lives, in our personal life. This is definitely one of the foundational areas to look at, because we are meant to think in a way which is empathetic. And in leadership today, especially when you're dealing with today's generation, Gen Z, it's the entire thought process is shifting. And I think women leaders bring that X factor.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Shraddha Varma. She is the co-founder of Fusia and founder of Fusia Talent, a global platform connecting women with freelance work opportunities in marketing, tech, and creative services. A passionate community builder and advocate for women's leadership, Shraddha has helped 500 plus founders, that's a lot, entrepreneurs and coaches scale their businesses while uplifting economically independent women worldwide. She believes that when women are empowered to lead and earn, they don't just change their lives, they transform their communities. Welcome to the show, Shraddha.
Thank you so much, Kenny. I'm absolutely excited to be speaking with you today.
It is going to be a fun one, and then we'll get to do a little trade of the episodes when I hop on your show. But I'm excited to have this conversation. You have such a cool story, and obviously your bio should be an encouragement to all entrepreneurs, but especially the women that you serve and want to serve. But tell me today, what is on your mind?
Lately, I've been thinking a lot about how thoughtful and intentional women leaders are becoming. In the past three days, I've had conversations with approximately 8 to 10 women, solopreneurs, coaches, and small business owners. And what I heard over and over again was that, hey, I want to clarify my purpose. I want to be more mindful in how I present my work, or I want my audience to feel what I stand for, not just what I sell. That theme of purpose before promotion really stood out for me. It's a sign of how women are redefining leadership today. We are not just rushing into growth, because I didn't hear anyone saying that, hey, I have to do something in just a span of 1 week or 1 month. So I just realized that we're being intentional, strategic, emotionally intelligent, and that's how we show up today. This is the change I've been noticing. This is the pattern that I've been noticing here. And that's on my mind.
That is a great pattern to notice. I always love finding new patterns and stringing new things together. So with these women and how you're noticing this pattern emerging, not just with the conversations you had, certainly within yourself and the organizations that you've built, but what do you think the catalyst behind that is? The seeing the need to slow down, and I love how you put it, is the purpose before promotion. Because I think with what we have in the internet, I mean, heck, the reason you and I are able to talk with each other being opposite sides of the world, it's made it so that you can just hop on, you can just promote, you can sell a thing and not even know why. You just know that you can. So what do you think is causing that pause and that reflectiveness within yourself and within these other women leaders?
I think by nature, women are meant to be empathetic and mindful in what they do. I think it's by nature how we are wired. And that's what I've noticed. Like, we're juggling multiple roles at home, in our professional lives, in our personal lives. And by nature, we are wired in a way to think about things in every angle. And perhaps that's one of the ways and one of the areas. Of course, there might be more promoting this thought, but I feel that this is definitely one of the foundational areas to look at, because we are meant to think in a way which is empathetic. And in leadership today, empathy is one of the most important, in my opinion, aspects to look at, especially when you're dealing with today's generation, Gen Z. It's the entire thought process is shifting. And I think women leaders bring that X factor here.
I would certainly agree. I know even in just processing, you know, decisions about my own business or something I'm thinking of doing just for myself, even if it's casual and not professional, I'll run it by my wife. And she's like, well, what about this and this? I was like, I did not even think of those things. Thank you so much. Where if I ask her what she's thinking, she's like, well, I've got, you know, we're doing this with the food. We got this with this kid and this with that kid. And then we got this thing coming up and this other thing. And I was like, I need a nap listening.
Exactly.
To you.
Yeah, we are multitaskers. We bring in so many perspectives. And I think that's what needed today.
I would say so, because there is more flying at organizations than ever before. And how we blend and can harmonize the different perspectives, I think, is going to be the competitive advantage, even if you don't want to make it competitive, but maybe even the necessity to survive, because so many businesses don't make it past, mm-hmm. you know, 12 months, 18 months, 36 months. And I think, obviously, I know the statistics for here in the U.S., and I'm sure that they're similar globally, that, you know, 80% aren't making it past. But I think we've got to blend the perspectives and invite those in.
Yeah.
You know, something that's been interesting to me that sort of connects with what you're saying is, again, my own experience is just being here in the States is almost exclusively my teachers coming up in school were women. So my first 12 years, right, of schooling, the most frequent leaders that I saw were women, right? Like, those are typically our first leaders. My mom was initially a single mom and then got married and I got adopted. But I've had women leaders my entire life, and especially early on when we're all really impressionable and we're just figuring out what the world even means because we don't know how to tie our shoes or add 2 + 2. So it always made sense to me for women to be in leadership because I had a lot of things that have benefited me have come from female, women leaders. And I'm curious, do you see a correlation between those things? Because I think people bucket like being a mother, and I think being a parent of any kind is leadership, but being a mother maybe at home and helping run that, being even a teacher of school-aged children is really no different than being a CEO or an executive or department manager of some sort. Would you agree with that, or do you see those things differently?
Honestly, I do agree with that to some extent, because I've definitely seen that women in general, and not just women, even girls for that matter, we tend mm-hmm. to influence and impact others more often. Mm-hmm. I've seen, and this is something that I can say because that's how even Fusure was born. This all started because my co-founder was able to influence a six-year-old. And that thought came just serendipitously of why can't more mm-hmm. girls inspire other girls? That's how it all started. Right. But why can't we do mm-hmm. this? Why can't more girls influence other girls to follow their passion? And then that mm-hmm. mere thought evolved into what we are today.
Would you just share briefly, you mentioned your co-founder, and I've already heard the story, but good stories are great second time around, too. That's why we rewatch movies. But could you just share briefly about the story of your co-founder, because it is so good?
Of course. My co-founder, her name is Shreya, and when she was just an 11-year-old girl back in 2012, she had written her own book, and it was on Amazon. So imagine 11-year-old girl having her own book. Jeez. It's already published on Amazon. And now imagine that this is the girl presenting her book and story to a local Palo Alto bookstore in California, mm-hmm. where a bunch of 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds are here to listen to that story. Now, mm-hmm. after this entire story is done, there was a 6-year-old girl who came up to Rhea and said that, hey, thank you for sharing your story and reading out to us. This made me realize that I also want to become a writer one day. That was mm-hmm. the conversation. And that evening, Rhea came to us. We were having a small family time conversation, and she just asked a very innocent question, saying that, hey, why can't more girls influence more girls to follow their passion? That's it. And at that stage, we were all having this discussion. Rhea just came by, put a question onto us, an 11-year-old girl, thinking about this. And it just made us realize that why can't we really do something around this, although it looks very simple. So it all started with the writing club, a simple space we created for young schoolgirls in Palo Alto to express themselves through stories, poems, and just honest words. It was an online platform that we created. But what began as a creative outlet quickly revealed something much deeper. I noticed how even the brightest, most thoughtful girls were hesitant to share. They were unsure if their voice mattered or even they were good enough or not. And that struck me because it's not just girls. It made me realize that women too, in general, we tend to underestimate our own potentials. Across geographies, cultures, ages, we are taught to downplay our potential, to wait for permission to fully show up. And that insight became my fuel to launch Fusia, a global platform to help women showcase their creativity, be it through art, design, words, or videos. And it became a safe space for expression. And within a span of just 2 years, we grew into a 1 million women network from across 35 plus countries. But again, something deeper surfaced. Wow. These women were so talented, yet many still financially dependent and lagged the confidence to turn their passion into income. And that's where the economic independence angle came to the picture and how Fusia Talent was born. So that's the story here.
It sounds like your message to go from zero to a million plus in 2 years, it really shows that the message you're putting out, the purpose that you were putting out there, was deeply resonating with how other people were thinking. Which, if you think about anything in marketing or sales or a message you want to get across or an idea, is oftentimes I've found is that someone typically is putting words to something you've felt or only said to yourself. That's when you get the deep resonance. And I have to imagine that that's part of what has happened with this community that you've built and scaled and continues to grow and shine. So when you think about, because I have 37 different thoughts in my head, but as you think about how women may have downplayed themselves or how they show up, and I don't hear you saying, which I've heard from others, but it sometimes feels like women are trying to lead like they see their male counterparts lead. I don't hear you saying that. I hear you saying that I think women should lead in a way that is uniquely female and uniquely women inspired. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's counter to the prevailing wisdom that I've heard, even from some people who are well-intentioned, on how do I need to show up? So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and this is something I've heard a lot, that women need to match to what the male counterparts are doing. And that's exactly not that we should be doing. We need to be ourselves. When we talk about showing our creative expressions, when we talk about being yourself, being relatable, being authentic, it's about just showing who you are, what are your core values. It's not about matching up to something that's, or a benchmark that has been set by someone else. Perhaps that's their authentic self. But if you are trying to do the same thing, where is your authenticity there? Try to achieve the goal, but in your own authentic way. So the goal can still remain the same, but the way you achieve the goal can differ.
Yeah, we can want the same things, or the what of leadership can be the same, but the path, the how can be shaped. I would say that should be different even the way, because I talk to a lot of other solopreneur coaches. So we all like band together because we don't have a colleague or we don't have employees and all this other stuff. So we got to complain to somebody. But when we talk to one another, it's been clearer and clearer to me. It's like, oh, we want similar things. But if I try to do it like the way my mentor does it, even though there's a lot I learned from him, I still got to be able to honor what makes me different and show up that way in the world. Because otherwise, I'm almost promoting a false identity. right?
Correct. You know, it's about thinking. The old way of thinking is, if you want to grow, you hustle harder. You have to do it all by yourself. You need to wait to hire until you're drowning. You separate creativity from commerce. And you think scaling means hiring full-time, building in-house, having complete control. It's a model that's linear and masculine and incredibly draining, especially for women trying to build a purpose-led business while managing everything else in life.
Yeah, there's more than one way to get there. And I don't remember if I had said this to you. I use this statement quite a lot when I try to express the difference of purpose behind my podcast, because there's 3.4, probably more now, million podcasts in the world. Like, why should mine stand out? And I tell people, it's like, I've had it with the guruism that says, if you want to be a successful individual, you've got to wake up at 4 a.m. and you've got to listen to an audiobook at 6x speed while walking backwards for 3 miles and journaling in your gratitude journal. Like, that's not the only way forward. I'm glad that works for you, but maybe let's talk about how you arrived there. What were the experiences, the discussions, the frameworks? Why does that work for you? And then what's that version for me? I may want to be successful and have time off and take vacations and, you know, have nice things and send my kids to college and all that. But if you start getting me to wake up at 4 a.m., you are going to see a very different Kenny on the regular. And I don't think anybody wants to see that version of me, because he's not as nice. But, you know, something as you've been talking that struck me, and so I'm just going to float this by you to get your take on it, in comparing and contrasting more feminine versus masculine styles of leadership. And I also don't hear you saying, like, we need one and not the other. I hear you saying a both and. There's a place for both in the world. Yes. But as I'm reflecting on your words and just my own experiences, I'm thinking like feminine leadership is a bit more inviting, where I would say stereotypically, and there's exceptions to everything, and that's fine too. But masculine leadership is sort of a pushing, a we're out, we're doing this. But I have found that the best female leaders that I've been around have this sort of inviting presence about them that gives them the influence they need to lead. Is that, am I mischaracterizing that? Or would you maybe put that in a more clear term or something else?
So you're absolutely right that the female leadership or the feminine leadership is more inviting, and perhaps I'll say that's because they come with that kind of an empathetic mindset. They come with a very welcoming and warm way of doing things. Their perspectives are different because they think from a lot of different angles, not saying that this doesn't come with masculine leadership. So the point that I'm trying to make here is the feminine leadership or the masculine leadership need to coexist in a way where both support each other. While we do need masculine leadership, we also need the support of feminine energy here for driving businesses. And that's exactly why we talk about having a place in the board or having a place in the top leadership position, because we bring in that perspective, thinking on all those angles that perhaps the masculine leadership may not have thought about. So masculine leadership is more, I'll say, agile and just looks... It looks at the what and what needs to be done, the goal and the task, whereas feminine leadership also looks at the impact, how or what valuable impact can it have on different parts of the society or different age groups. And this is just my personal observation in general, that we tend to also be a little bit thoughtful and mindful while taking steps in action. This may change. I'm not saying that that's not something I've seen in some masculine leaders. In fact, I've seen some of my mentors, male mentors, who are absolutely, who come with that kind of a thoughtful perspective. But it's just a general observation where a majority of the female leaders I've worked with, they come with this kind of a mindset of coming with that openness, that coming with that mindfulness They integrate mm-hmm. mindfulness into their leadership style.
Yeah, as certainly more naturally,
yeah.
I would think, whereas that may take a bit more effort from masculine leadership. Like, all right, where's the goal? We're going. Let's go. What? You fell down? Okay, cool. Let me know when you're good. And I know that can be a bit of an exaggeration, but sometimes it feels like that. And so it is good to have those different paces, have those different perspectives. I look at a company that I followed for a long time, used to be a partner in their ecosystem, is HubSpot. And when the co-founders, Brian and Dharmesh, you know, had been talking about what succession planning looked like, and Brian was going to step away from being CEO but stay on the board and stay involved, is that they promoted a female CEO. And whoever takes over, anytime you're taking over for the founder, like, that could be a really nerve-wracking position to be in, especially with a publicly traded company and one so in the limelight so much as HubSpot. But she's really done a great job. And I think part of it is being able to blend what you're saying is that empathy, especially for the, like you said, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about this, of that next generation that really is flooding into the workplace already. I know Generation Alpha is right behind them. That's like my kids, you know, that are in the teenage years. God bless whoever hires them. But how do we start to leverage that with this new generation or newer generation in the workforce so that we're bringing the best out of them? Like, we're inviting them, we're challenging them to not just see the world the way they see it, but we're taking a bit of, I guess it is empathy, like seeing from their perspective, but also inviting them into a perspective that maybe their generation hasn't naturally come into, because some of it isn't you do have to grind sometimes when you're working. Sometimes it is really hard and you just have to push through. Sometimes you're going to have to hear some things you don't really like and it doesn't feel empathetic and maybe nobody meant anything by it and we can't slow everything down for that. How do you see the what you've observed with this purposeful, mindful, thoughtful, more like feminine energy and leadership helping bring that generation more fully into the workforce that now encompasses up to 5 generations in some places?
They would admire leaders who can show up honestly, admit the mistakes, and lead with empathy. And perhaps that's why they would connect a lot with women leaders as well. You know, they value relatable leadership instead of perfect leadership that we look at in general. You know, so
that's well said.
In what we can do as leaders is that we need to share our journey and struggles and wins honestly with them so that they can feel as a part. They want to be a part of the system. They don't want to just follow a list of 10 tasks that you assign them daily. They are not the ones who are going to follow it. You know, so you don't have to, you know, expectation or, you know, you have a mission around your company. You have something around sustainability or mental health. These young generation are going to relate with it. So,
gotcha.
So that's something, again, I have noticed. The other area is that you don't have to lead the room. Like, initially, you know, the older way of looking at leadership is that you need to lead something in the room when you're having the meetings. You need to lead something. I think right now the entire narrative is about, you know, empower the room for others to make decisions and come up with solutions. So their job, they believe that the leader's job is more to uplift and share the credit rather than, just resonate with a hero founder model. You know, they are not someone who is going to follow some community enabler, that kind of a leadership. Then the areas that I've noticed.
So then I think one of the tensions that I've even found myself at different times wrestling with, if you're talking to another leader and saying same thing, like, look, they want you to facilitate the conversation, invite their ideas and do all those things. You can do that, but then, like, where does the responsibility and accountability lie? right? It's one thing to have a brainstorm session with everyone. It's another thing to say who owns the decision. And typically that is whoever that senior most leader is. It might be the founder. And that's part of what I think creates some tension is that, you know, leaders may say, I just need you to do what I asked you to do. And they're being asked to like, okay, well, let's invite all the voices in. And then on the other side, they're saying, we want to have a voice, but we don't want to bear maybe responsibility if this goes south. And I think that there's a tension to be managed to where it's like, okay, cool. Like, we'll talk about it together. But I also need you to understand that at the end of the day, I'm accountable as a executive or a founder, a CEO, or whatever your title may be that is up there. I'm accountable for how this goes. Part of my job is owning this decision. How would you help both the leaders and the people on their team maybe have a more empathetic view of each other? Because I think it's always easy to say, or easier, I should say, easier to say the senior leaders and the founders and the executives, they should all be far more empathetic and let's just listen to everybody. But on the other side, how do we encourage those that want to be heard understand where the weight and the burden of responsibility lies on people such as yourself who are CEOs and founders? And if you make a bad decision, like you could really negatively impact some people. Or if they're like, they came up with an idea, but your time and experience in the market tells you that's not going to pan out, or that might have been the dumbest thing you ever heard. How can you relate that in such a way? Because it feels like we can't just point at the leaders and say, do better. I think it's got to be a both and, right?
Yeah. No, so true. I mean, I can so totally relate with it, because today, leadership is a blend of authority with accessibility today. And with the generations that we are dealing with, I've seen that today, leadership is not about the loudest voice in the room. It's about how we are about, holding the culture, being accessible, and letting them realize the power of accountability, along with acknowledging what decisions they can come with. So it's about having a blend of amplifying the voices of the young leaders, along with, integrating it with the accountability and power aspect that millennials and senior leaders bring in together. So I feel it's a lot about, creating that kind of a culture within the ecosystem that you're dealing with. Otherwise, there's always going to be a tension, because the way and the style of younger generations working is totally different. What they really want, they really want to blend with the company's vision and vulnerability. So if you're just trying to control them, that's not going to work. So you'll need to work with them to make it work. And that's where the...
Gotcha. Now, the thing now that my mind is going to is, someone may be listening to say, this is great, and this would be really easy if I was just starting over, if I was starting my company over or had some new opportunity. But let's say business is already in motion. We already have a culture. Things are already moving. I already have executives, I already have hirings. I can't just go and replace half my leadership team with women all of a sudden, or I can't. Now I'm just going to have brainstorming sessions every time. What would you tell the leader that hears this? They resonate. They hear the truth of what you're saying. They go, you know what? She's right. I think we could be better off this way. And I want to make moves there, but I don't think I can make a knee-jerk reaction just to try to get there. What's a baby step, a first step that a leader could take in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to start to include that feminine leadership energy, that empathy, that inviting nature, that would really bring out the best in everybody by having that both and mindset? What could they do that would help them take that baby step?
Of questions like where I am being too hard on myself as a leader. That's one of the basic questions I would want everyone to reflect. Where am I being too hard on myself as a leader? And the other part is that, is there someone on my team or in my network I can truly listen to? Not to direct, but to understand. Because I think listening is also one of the important skills that comes for a leader, especially if you want to lead with empathy. And if you want to lead with, you know, with people across generations. So we need to, you know, so this is something I would want people to look at, like take out 10, 15 minutes, answer these two questions, and then act, you know, send a voice note to a team member, you know, ask about how they are feeling about the work lately. As simple as that, you know, just show. Yeah. This is something that is very easy to do. We can do it in the next 24 hours and it can really create a ripple effect. That's like one of the starting point we can look at.
Yeah. I love that. That's simple, is just start with yourself and some awareness and then maybe reach out to one person. You don't have to reach out to everybody, but just start with one person.
Yeah, start with one person. How are you feeling today about the work?
Yeah. Deceptively, I have found some of the most powerful things are usually deceptively simple. But I'm a big fan of saying that we need to be reminded more than we need to learn new things. So I think you've given us a lot of great things that we needed to be reminded of, that maybe in the busyness of life and business and leadership, we may have forgotten or just set off to the side. Shraddha, if people want to know more about you, Fusia, and everything that you have going on, where would you send them? Where should they connect? Yeah.
So that's the best place to reach out to me. And, you know, my email ID would be also the best way to reach out to me. So, you know, I'm all ears and I can be all available for business owners or, you know, aspiring leaders. To connect, you know, need them, you know, if they need any help them with the right team as well. So, yeah.
I love that. Yes, we will have all of those links in the show notes. So go connect, follow all things Fusia and see the great work that they're doing. Keep an eye open for my interview will be on there as well. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But I just really appreciate the work that you're doing in the world, and this conversation was really impactful, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. So thank you for sharing your time and your wisdom.
Thank you so much, Kenny.
To the listeners, thank you so much for spending part of your day with us. I hope that this was fun, this was entertaining, this was educational. Maybe it sparked some new ideas for you. If it did, like, rate, review the show, leave feedback, comments. I definitely want to hear from you. I love doing this. I love getting to speak with smart people and interesting people who have thoughts that even challenge me. But I want to make sure that it is all in service of you and your needs and your leadership journey and what you need for your next step. So leave me feedback. Let me know what you're looking for or what topics you're interested in so that I can continue to make the show better for you. But until next time, change the way you think. You'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.